Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got the magical and motivated Sarah Meadows.
Oh no, you messed me up. I had a K this time for Kevin, the conniving Kevin.
No, you got to go with the D. His last name switched to the
Sorry.
D.
Sorry.
I was like, is he like skipping people?
Conniving
I'm
is a
really
C.
Really confused. Yeah.
But it's the
sound. It's the hard C. Okay.
The dashing and daring Melissa.
Delp. Right? Yeah. The persnickety pills.
Ooh.
Persnickety. Interesting. The jovial Dan Johnson. See, this isn't fair because I still have to do a J.
Journeyman like, or either way.
Wait, I'm announcing you?
Yeah, that's how it works.
The majestic and melodious Will
majestic.
Meadows.
Love it. Okay, I got called majestic a lot recently. It's just, it's a thing.
Should be the marvelous Madam Meadows.
Yeah. Whoa, there we go. All right, well, now that we got that out of the way, I try to keep you guys hopping. And it's great that I always have like 30 minutes to prepare my letter before I tell you guys what you're going to
have. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It is awesome. It's majestic. So we've been playing a bunch of different games. And one of the things that I actually got to do this past week that I was kind of excited about, we went on a little road trip to visit the fam. And I got to listen to board game podcasts, other people's podcasts, which I haven't actually done in a while. I got to catch up on Rolling Dice and Taking Names, listen to their Squirrelies episode, which is always a lot of fun as they run through some of their favorite games for the year. Also caught up on Brawling Brothers board gaming podcast and had a great time listening to some of the fun stuff they've been doing.
Back to the Squirrelies, yeah, yeah. I also listened to it. It was hilarious how much they play into their, like, the whole ambiance and how played into
I was impressed by that,
how people were there on screens and how they had to carry screens up to the I'm like, wow, they just went,
yeah, it was very creative. They set the stage very well for their live show with curtains drawn and went into all the details of that. It was fun. I was kind of like motivated. We need to do some more fun. I don't know, we need to paint the picture for our listeners at home. Today's episode, we're going to cover some of our favorite Bezier games. We're going to talk about, if you hang around to the end of the episode, a couple of the new shows we've been watching on Disney+. We're also going to be just talking about some of the games that we've been playing most recently. What have you guys had an opportunity to get to the table maybe this week?
Well, during our community game night, I got to play, it's either 2491 or 4921. It's 1492 all scrambled up, and then Planet Ship. I don't remember if Planet Ship comes before or after. So I apologize, Meebo, for getting this wrong. But it was a really cool game. You have a 2491 Planet Ship.
Got
but
it.
I want to call it Planet Ship 2491 because that makes more sense
better
to me.
Year.
But it's a game from this Portuguese company called Meebo. And we did a review of another game they just did, Coretto's. But anyway, this is it's also high quality game. And the idea is that planets everywhere have used up all of their resources. So the survivors have gone out on these planet ships, and those are the new planets, these traveling ships. And here is a planet ship, Alpha, that is breaking up, and there's some survivors.
They used all the resources on the planet that they lived on, and then on the ship.
Yeah, that's
terrible.
That's the story. So you lead another planet ship who's after the survivors because DNA is like valuable. So you score points based on DNA, and different aliens will have different DNA point values to them. And then there will also be four missions that you're also trying to accomplish. And those are either based on the powers that the characters have or what race they are. Or there's one where it's whoever has the most strength. And so you have – everybody starts out with the same six aliens, and they all have one of each of the six powers, which could be like when someone lays a card down, you can send it back to the owner, or you can move their card, or you can move your card somewhere else, or you can protect one of your units, stuff like that. And there's these tiles that have four spaces on them, and one of them is a reward space that has a survivor character card in it, and you play your cards around it. And once everybody's played all of their character cards, you resolve each of the tiles in numerical order by tile. And then within the tile, there will be Roman numerals indicating which space goes first. So it gets really tricky because what you'll have something where this character – oh, sorry. A main part of the game is – so you start out with the same six. But when you rescue one of the survivors, they get added to your hand. And then at the end of the round, you decide which six characters you're going to move into for the next round. So you're always building up your characters. Whatever six characters you have at the very end, those are the points you're actually going to score. And whatever you've discarded only gives you one each. So
that was a really tough decision because I played it with Ryan too and just – looking at your abilities and it's like, ah, I really want this ability on this card, but it's not like there are end game goals and it's not an end game goal. So should I pitch it and sacrifice the ability and how valuable that is or keep it just because I need that strength? I like that tension.
Yeah. But the resolution of the tiles got really tricky because in one of the games I played, the one guy was playing one that hacked twice. So there's only three spaces. He played it in space one so that it would hack the next two spaces and remove anybody that went there. So he didn't even need any strength there because he was automatically hacking them. So I played a card next door that would shield somebody, and then I played a hacker into one of the free spaces. So I shielded that hacker so he couldn't hack him. And then I hacked him out, and he also had it where there was a teleporter where he was going to move my hacker out, but you can only teleport if there's an open space. So I filled up the open space. So it was this back and forth, like, you're going to do this, so I'm going to do this to compromise that, and then you'll do this to cancel that. It got really, like, mind-bendy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I totally know what's going to happen here, but because the tiles, they all resolve in a specific order, sometimes – character cards move around because they can teleport or something. Like if you put one of your teleporting characters on one of the early tiles, they can see, oh, I'm not going to win here, or I'm going to win by so much I don't need both of these characters here. I'll just teleport this guy over here to fight in this tile, and you weren't expecting that, and it messes up what you're going to do.
If you could only see at home Ryan's hand movements while right? he was talking,
you would probably understand what's going on in this game.
You would be even more confused.
It was also hard because maybe a third of the people you put down are actually played face down. So you don't know what everybody is there. You have a way to potentially peek, but there's just a lot, like you said, a lot of thinking and trying to analyze. I'm sure if you're really prone to AP, you could sit there and this and that, and what's going to happen to all these, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And the folks I played with at Community Game Night, they're like, well, you're going to have to come next time.
Bring it back.
And set this up half hour early.
Ooh.
That way we can actually play through a whole game.
Was it a 3-hour game? What is
no,
the,
it took a while to learn.
Put it together.
And,
oh, gotcha.
And they all had kids that were distracting them, that sort of thing.
I think Ryan taught it to me. Granted, we play a lot of games, but he taught it to me. And we played probably 2/3 of a game in 50 minutes. Like, yeah. We could have probably finished up in another 15 minutes, but just didn't have time.
Say 2/3 in 50 minutes and the last third in 50 minutes?
Yeah, because by that point, we were clicking a lot faster.
In 15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, 15. Sorry, okay. 15.
Quadrupled for the...
Yeah. No.
Heck, was quintupled.
Melissa and I were able to play a game called The Initiative, which is a code-breaking, puzzle-solving adventure board game. It's a game within a game within a game. It is the Inception
Oh, I like Inception.
No.
So this is a cooperative game, and basically you're playing as these teenagers in the 90s who buy a board game
at a garage sale.
At a garage sale. So what you're actually, the pieces you're playing on the board are the characters the kids are playing in the game.
Nice.
And it has this comic book, basically, before each scenario. You read through a page or two on the comic book, and it kind of sets things up for you. There's scenario cards for each mission that tells you how to set up the board, what tokens go where, what your objective is, that sort of thing. There are 14
missions
in the campaign, and then there are about 30, maybe even more, scenarios, mm-hmm. that one-off scenarios that you could play after the fact.
This is one of my most anticipated board games of 2021. So you'll have to go check our video that's now live by the time this podcast gets aired on our YouTube channel, where Melissa and I review the game, and you can hear whether it lived up to my expectations, my anticipations.
Judging by how excited he seemed.
So, yeah, the main mechanisms, basically you have a hand of cards, and you have to play the cards on action tiles, action cards, to say this is the action I'm going to take. And if Kevin plays the run action and he puts a four down, if I then want to use run, I have to play a card higher than four. So you're managing your cards to do these actions to collect these clue tiles, and you flip them over, and some of them correspond to the
console,
the mission console that lets you flip up a window if it has the matching symbol. Some of them are traps, so you don't know until you intel and turn them over, or you pick them up if you're getting stuff that's going to help you with the mission or hurt you.
It sounded like it was going to be cooperative, but is it competitive?
No, it is co-op. Okay. It is co-op, and you are working together to figure out the mission. Usually it's a question. Like the demo mission is, what is the key phrase? And you are finding these glyphs throughout the board, on the board, and you are revealing them Wheel of Fortune style on this little flip over thing. And you're like, oh, Ben, can White's, I figure, like, out ding, the key phrase? But yeah, you hear a little ding. Can I figure out the phrase before I have to go through and reveal all of them? Because you want to try and end it before the game's over. So
yeah, there's a bit of a timer mechanism with the deck of cards. Once you go through the draw pile once, you shuffle in these watch icons, and if you reveal a certain number of those, the game ends immediately and you can't even guess. So you have to be careful with drawing cards in the second half of the game.
Can't even guess, like, it's over?
It's over.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's over. We played all 14 missions in 3 days. So
he hated it. You could tell. It did not make his list.
I wanted to play the campaign before we did the review.
I like it.
Yeah, and I would say a mission's about 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. One of the kind of fun, goofy games that we got to play with our kids this week is called Box Monster from Mandu Games. And it's a game where the box itself is used in the game. It looks like it's a tall box, and
it's
looks
Fear,
like,
Factor.
Yeah, a bunch of monsters on each side of the box, and you're actually sticking your hand, like, in their mouth. So pull out a bunch of randomly shaped discs, and the cool thing about the game is that you flip over a card, and then two people have to find the matching item inside the box without looking, and they have to communicate with each other, like, oh, I think I found the starfish shape. Anybody else have the starfish? You've got a timer ticking down, and so all the kids are scrambling around, you're hitting each other's hands, you can't, like, it feels like a star, but is this the starfish, or is this the wind chime star? And then you pull them out, you know, hopefully you're right, you move on to the next one, you get to the third round, and right as you figured out, like, the rhythm, them, then the third one has no talking on it, and you can't talk to each other, and you lose.
You should definitely, like, switch out, like, slimy stuff
and
spiny and, like, different, like, tactile things, and your kids already know how to play this game, right?
Right.
All of a sudden they reach their hand, they're like, what?
We just need a different box so we don't ruin the game.
That's
box.
True.
Well, somebody just suggested that, like, oh, perfect prank, stick a mouse trap in there, which would be murderous.
Snap!
Good stuff. Well, we've been having a lot of fun playing a lot of different games. Let's take a break from this for just a moment and give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode, we have two sponsors. The first one is Genius Games. Their game Cellulose is coming to Kickstarter on April 13th. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that during Kickstarter Conniption. Our other sponsor is Lycan Studio, and their game Bone to Pick is on Kickstarter now. This is a semi-cooperative game where you have a hand of weapon cards and a undead character will come out. And as a group, you each secretly select one of your cards, put it down, flip them over, and if the combined total is greater than the undead villain, then you collectively beat the character, the enemy, but you are trying to have the highest unique weapon value, because then you'll be able to take the card as a trophy, which is going to be worth points. So if I play an 8 and Kevin plays an 8 and Sarah plays a 4, Sarah actually gets the trophy because Kevin's and my 8 will counteract each other and make them not valid. So you're trying to anticipate what other players are going to play, kind of keep track of what people have played, and then also try to keep the best weapons for yourself, because at the end of the game, you're going to have a few cards left over, and if you have the highest value of those, you'll get more points. So you're trying to help, but not too much, and hope that the other people carry the weight. But if your total value of the company is less, then the undead monster is going to wreak havoc on your haven, and you could completely lose the game if you get too much damage. So, pretty quick game, trying to anticipate and maybe even bluff the other players of what you're playing. That is Bone to Pick from Lycan Studios on Kickstarter now.
Cool. Let's anticipate some games that are coming to Kickstarter in our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about 8 games coming to Kickstarter the weeks of April 12th and week of April 19th. Kevin, start us off.
Well, I'm going to start us off with an expansion to Marvel United. Marvel United is a co-op adventure game battling game where you're all working together as heroes to fight the villain. It's kind of interesting because a lot of people are getting their Marvel United packages in the mail.
Finally.
Right now. Well, they did a first shipment. This is like the second shipment where like all the expansions are coming in. One of our friends got the whole shebang, and it was literally like, I don't know how many different heroes and villains.
Oh, really?
It's
tons of extra
ones. Tons of extra miniatures. Yeah, it was just like crazy. All the different Marvel Universe people that you can think of.
Everyone you can imagine.
Including like Spider-Man and like ones that are like part of Marvel Universe now.
Extended, right.
But the new expansion coming to Kickstarter on April 14th is the X-Men expansion.
Oh, okay. Woo-hoo! Now I'm excited.
Yes. So you'll see people like Magneto and things like that. But they are trying to add more things to the gameplay. So it's not just new characters. Actually adding to the gameplay. And to the number of players. So now you can go up to 5 players with some new rules. There's actually, I believe, I'm reading this properly, in one of the design diaries, one of the designers said that a player can now play as a villain if they want to.
What?
And there's, with X-Men, sometimes you don't know if what side they're...
Is it a villain or a good
right?
guy?
So they're calling these new player characters anti-heroes.
Okay.
And these characters come with both a villain master plan and a hero deck.
So you could use the hero and their deck as a normal character, or you could also place them as a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So you're not controlling the bad guy. You just have additional bad guys.
I think you have both in the game.
Right. You wouldn't be controlling the bad guy like to play against the good guys. Correct. It would just be, I'm going to play Magneto as the good guy.
Correct. Yeah. You got it. And there's more, you usually have a hand of 3 cards, when you're playing the game at the beginning of the game. Sometimes you lose and gain cards, but it sounds like they're raising the number of special ability cards that the heroes have from 3 to 4 in their hand. So, and it's from CMON. Thank you, Melissa, pointing it out. This is coming from CMON, if you didn't already know, and that is April 14th, X-Men expansion to Marvel United. Melissa.
Well, I'm also talking about an expansion on April 13th. Road to Infamy Games is bringing an expansion to Canvas. This expansion is called Reflections, and Canvas is a 1-to-5 player game that plays in about 30 minutes, and it's actually, some people have their pledges, and some of the pledges are still being delivered at this point, but it is a game with clear cards, transparent cards that have art on them, and you are layering the cards on top of each other to create scenes to get points. There's certain objectives that you're trying to reach with those cards. And with this expansion, they are adding mirror cards. Basically, they are reversible, so you could play them either side, which adds more strategy. There's also a new board, which is going to give a wider selection of art cards, allowing you to better plan ahead. This is a fairly light game, kind of filler level game, plays in about 30 minutes. So if you have enjoyed playing Canvas or you're interested and didn't get to jump in on the first Kickstarter, check out the new Kickstarter for Canvas Reflections coming April 13th. Ryan.
Coming in mid-April from Helvetic is Save Patient Zero. This is kind of a two-player game, kind of a three-player game. One player is the savvy game master who knows.
It's two teams. So whether that's two versus two or one versus one, and then the odd number is the savvy, the game master. Sorry, exactly. Go ahead, Ryan.
No. By all means. Okay. We played it two-player, and Dan was the game master, and we were each a lab.
Go retriever?
Yeah. I've tried to be a retriever, but Dan said I had to be a lab.
Oh.
Anyway, there you're trying to find the DNA markers or proteins, whatever, of some sort of disease to save patient zero. So you basically have this 5x5 grid of numbered proteins, and you are trying to figure out which of the three are going to be key to the cure. So you have several tools at your disposal to try to uncover additional clues as to what those are, and the game master, he has the three in front of him. So you may hand him some cards with several of them on it. Like, I think there's like five clues on each card, and he'll hand them back and give them to you and say, like, yes, this has one of them on it, or no, this one doesn't. And you separate them out on either side of your board. Or there's another tool where you have a couple minutes to go through your whole deck of those and hand him two specific ones, you know, to get him to say yes or no. And then there's one of the tools he takes, or you take up to three of the ones that you have a positive indicator on, hand them to him, and he tells you whether there's one, two, or three there. And then there's one of the tools, you put this little window on your 5x5 grid and ask him, like, how many are in this window? And then there's another one which you put a piece on that covers up four of them, and it's like, is any one of these correct? And I think one of the tools, which was the least useful for me, was it's a min-max, and you pick minimum or maximum, and he tells you either the minimum or maximum row that one of them falls in. Unfortunately for us, the proteins were both in the top row and the bottom row, so it didn't actually say anything other than it is, in fact, in this – one of them is in this bottom row. It didn't, like, rule out three of the rows or anything for us, which was unfortunate, but – yeah, we were racing against each other, seeing who could find the cure first, and I managed to just barely sneak it in and beat Amy to it. It was a lot of fun, and it's coming to Kickstarter sometime mid-April, so check it out.
So this company did want to let everyone know that this game has been in the works for years. Yes. It's not just a cash grab because of the pandemic or things like that. Like, they've been working on this game for years and years. It just happens to coincide with things that we're currently working on, having in the current climate.
I don't know what you mean. But yeah, check it out. Coming mid-April, Save Patient Zero. Dan, what do you got?
All right, coming April 21st, we have Florence by Braincrack Games. It's an area control type worker placement game where you are trying to win the favor of the Medici family. You have different types of family members. You have the debutantes, you have donnas, and a maestro. And you're going, so each round, there will be a set amount of time that each player gets. And the different actions on the board take up different amounts of time. So you have to try and determine where you want to spend your time for that round. Do you send something out and take up 5 hours or whatever and lose most of your time? Or do you hit some of the different locations? But you're ultimately trying to end up with your family members at these different locations on the board while the Medici are traveling around to their various elegant parties, because you want to win their favor, you want to give them gifts, and you want them to therefore give you like scandalous information that you can get points for and do different actions. So you're trying to time all this. The three different Medici family members have different preferences, so they're going to look for different things in the locations and award points accordingly. So you're constantly trying to shift and change what you're doing from round to round, as you know, because there's a predictive, like they're going to travel to this space next, so you know where they're going to go. It's not just shooting in the dark. Just trying to get those points and win their favor. We're going to be doing a playthrough of this later in the month, so be sure to check that out. Again, that's April 21st, Florence by Braincrack Games. Will, what do you have?
So I'm talking about the game Pletrix from Truquilus Games. It's a tongue twister. No, I'm just kidding. It's a roll and write game for 2 to 6 players, and it's standard, typical, like I have a sheet of paper, have a handful of dice that I'm going to roll, and I'm going to draw on my sheet of paper to try to score points. One of the things that I enjoyed about the game was that it actually follows the rules of Tetris. So you roll sets of colored dice. Whoever is the lead player for the turn gets their choice first of 4 of the dice, 2 of each color, and on the dice are Tetris-shaped pieces. And then you're going to draw those in on your board based on the color. There's like 5 different colors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you have to like place them in like gravitational, like if they had fallen from the sky, you have to draw them on the baseline of each of the different categories on the board that you're trying to fill in. They're each going to, of course, score in different ways. Some of them you're trying to get from as far left to as far right as you possibly can. Some of them look just like the Tetris board, and you'll actually score by the number of like completed rows that you're able to get done by the end of the game. Some of them you have to, of course, like fill in the zigzaggy one in order to unlock the pieces that go into the normal Tetris one. And so it's all like back and forth across the board. Some of the spaces are going to give you free fill-in spaces. And so you've got that really great experience where, okay, I only added 2 pieces on this turn, but I was able to unlock this piece, which fills in over here, which covers this number 2, which allows me to fill in 2 extra spaces, which fills in the completion thing, which gives me the main score at the end of the game. And it has a nice feel to it. The artwork for it looks very Tetris-y. And if you are a fan of Tetris and you like roll and writes, I feel like this is a great solution. It doesn't go crazy on theme or anything. It looks a little spaceship-ish. But very solid gameplay. So I really enjoyed playing that one. Pletrix is coming to Kickstarter on some date. I don't ever do the dates. Do you guys notice that? Anybody out there notice that? Never say the dates ever. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I'm looking up the date to your game. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
It is coming April 18th.
Look for it then.
What game are you talking about?
The game I'm looking at is coming April 13th, and it is one of our show sponsors, Cellulose, from Genius Games. This is from designer Steve Schleppelhorst and John Covey.
Is that how you say his last name? I mean, it sounded good, but I see that written all the time, and I have no idea how to pronounce it.
How I would say it.
John Covey?
No.
Schleppelhorst?
Schlepphorst. All right. So,
sorry, Steve.
Schlepphorst. All right. This is a biology game based on the plant Cell. So it is a standalone companion game to Cytosis that came out a couple of years ago. In this game, instead of dealing with all of the different things that a animal cell would do, in this one, plant cells mostly focus on moving water through the cell and doing photosynthesis.
Ooh, I've heard of that one.
Yes. So this one has some similar mechanics, but it is focusing a little bit more on photosynthesis, which produces carbohydrates to build the cell wall.
Oh, you lost me.
Sounds like you need to play this one.
Exactly.
He will be playing it soon. So in the game, it is a worker placement game. So you're placing your workers out to gain the items that you need, doing the different functions and the different parts of the cell. So you might go somewhere and gain water or gain CO2, which then you can use those items to carry out your photosynthesis, things like that. So this is one that you can use in like a classroom setting if you would like, or a homeschool setting, or it is a great game just on its own, even if you're not a huge science buff, just because it's got solid worker placement mechanics. So that is Cellulose, coming from Genius Games on April 13th. Kevin.
Another, not game, but game accessory, is coming back to Kickstarter April 20th from one of our sponsors, Game Toppers. Kevin Berkey has put out some really cool Kickstarters in the back with game accessories. The most famous one are the Game Toppers, which is basically a way to put a pretty cool table on top of your table. And it's something that we enjoy using here at Tantrum House. And something that he is bringing to this new Kickstarter are some accessories to that, and then new game mats. One of the things that he, I think, was last Kickstarter were some really artistic game mats.
Very theme-inducing.
Yeah, thank you, Will. Yeah, the themed game mats are pretty cool. There's like a Viking one, and there was a Scythe one from Stonemaier. It looks like there's the one I saw was an island.
Yeah, pirate-looking theme.
It looks really, really cool. And he's going to be... So sneak peek, whet your appetites. You can come back to our next episode, and we will be doing an interview with Kevin Berkey about the Kickstarter. So look forward to that in our next podcast. So,
one of the artists is Vincent Dutrait, isn't it?
There is one that I do remember. Thank you, Melissa. There was a Vincent Dutrait one. I might have to ask him for that one.
Berkey's an awesome guy. I always enjoy talking with him. His business has been very successful, and I think it's because he builds really good relationships with people. He builds really good quality stuff.
Oh yeah,
I'll be excited to see what this campaign brings, because he does always have. There's always at least like one thing I didn't anticipate, and I'm like, oh, what? Where'd that come from? Gonna have to get that.
Yeah. So that's coming April 20th. So look for that on Kickstarter. Back over to Sarah.
Also coming April 13th is Connecting Flights from Bazite Games. This is from designer Rafa Dawid. And this is a game where you take on the role of an airline manager, and you are trying to make the most money by transporting the most...
giving peanuts and drinks to your people on the plane.
That might be happening now, but you are trying to get the most people passported around the world to gain the most money. You're going to have to be managing your entire fleet of planes, as well as the fuel and fuel trucks and all that type of stuff, making sure that you do things in the right timing so that you have the right amount of fuel for this plane to fly several hours away. So this game is cooperative, but there is also competitive. There is a cooperative mode for 1 to 2 players, where you're working together to try and get the passengers flown to their correct destinations. So that is Connecting Flights, coming April 13th.
Are we ready to move into our...
segment
topic for the podcast?
Let's do it.
We need like a
there's a sound effect.
Awesome. So we always try to have a really cool topic that we can talk about and share with our audience, and tonight is our favorite Bezier games.
Okay, so Katie's not here. Do we get a vote on what we think Katie's favorite, what we know?
We know.
It would be unanimous. Everybody knows Katie's favorite is Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
What? Good place to start.
Me too.
That's a good one to start. I think their slogan is the new classics. Mm-hmm. And I would say Castles definitely
fits the bill.
Fits the bill for that one.
Yeah, yeah. I it's actually been a number of years since I've played it. I think the most recent one I played is actually Between Two Castles and Mad King Ludwig,
mm-hmm. which is technically a
Stonemaier, or is it a, it's a duo?
Yeah,
which I enjoyed that one as well.
You know, there's an expansion coming for that.
Oh, didn't know
it's
that.
In the mail.
Mm. Oh, all right. We'll get that one back on the table soon. That
is, secret.
That is like Brian, my brother-in-law's favorite game. That we play regularly with him.
Oh,
on
well,
Sundays.
When it comes, we can definitely play with him.
Busted.
So,
out.
Might have to get him that expansion. Yeah.
Were you saying, Dan, that your mother in law really enjoys Castles of. Or maybe that
was
my
mom.
Amy saying that. Oh,
that's
your
my
mom.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very torn when she plays the game because every room has to fit logically in her castle. So, it's like, what? You wouldn't put the. I can't even think of the room names, but you wouldn't put
the bathroom next to the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't put the bowling alley
next to the buttery. The,
yeah. Just things like that. So
maybe you would. The like slippery.
She'll go out of her way to buy rooms that are more expensive because they logically fit her castle flow.
Okay.
Even if it sacrifices points. But you know what? If she enjoys that and okay. is
that
willing to
her
play.
Joy. She Marie Kondo's it.
That's right. That's right.
You verbed that, huh? I didn't even know that.
I think I could probably say that's my favorite, but since that seems like it's favorites of
already
others,
been taken.
Yeah. it's kind of torn for me. I just played Whistle Mountain and really enjoyed that, but I think I'd probably need to play it a little bit more just to
Whistle
make sure.
Stop.
Sorry, Whistle Stop, yeah.
Well, there's Whistle Mountain and there's Whistle
there's
Stop.
There's two different ones,
Whistle
yeah.
Mountain.
Mountain Whistle has Mountain. The air dirigibles.
Whistle Mountain's probably a little bit more mean than Whistle Stop.
Yeah, you made that evident.
Yeah.
Oh, the was meanest. Kevin playing in this game?
Yeah.
And did he drown a bunch of people?
I didn't drown that many. I told them
not that many.
It's more like, yeah, you could do that. And then he teaches you and then beats you by 100 points kind of thing.
Well, that's
it was
every
their first
game.
Time. I had played it quite a few times. You have played both or just Whistle Mountain?
Just Whistle Mountain.
Okay.
So that's good. But I also like Colony a lot. There's something about Colony that just pulls me in. So...
I would put Whistle Stop up above Whistle Mountain personally. I like train theme games. This one has a route building with tile laying. There's an expansion that really adds a lot to the game, the Rocky Mountain expansion, where you're actually traveling over the Rocky Mountains in the game. I don't know. There's just a lot of things going on in Whistle Stop that I like, that I think I like the mechanics better in Whistle Stop than Whistle Mountain. So.
Yeah, I was thinking of those two because I do enjoy both of the Whistle games. And I was trying to think, which one do I like more? Mm-hmm. I've played Whistle Stop more. Mm-hmm. I think it has a slight edge, maybe because it's not quite as mean or a potential to be mean as Whistle Mountain. But I do love all the variability in Whistle Mountain with the different machines that you can put onto the scaffolds and taking the different actions and upgrades. So they're both get thumbs up from me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think the game that I've played the most is Silver.
Okay.
Just because I had the app and it got me through a lot of dead time at an IT forum and a research conference.
So you played the amulet version then? Or did you have...
Just the amulet version on the app. But I have played the other versions. I'm not sure which one's my favorite.
That's what
I like
you.
That there's interchangeability there a little bit.
Amulet, then there's...
So I have the app too, and I have Bullet and Amulet, and you can swap out which cards you want. So I usually do a mixture of, oh, I like these cards from Bullet and these from Amulet.
Yeah. Next conference, I'll have to spring for it.
Coin was okay. Dagger is pretty cool.
I like
really
dagger.
Yeah. Dagger is really cool. I wish they had a different name for coin, but that's just because everything else is six letters.
Oh,
amulet.
Like, it starts with
bullet.
C? Oh,
and they could have done
candle.
I think they could have done
silver candle.
Crypt.
No, not crypt. It was coffin. They could have done silver coffin. Because it would have kept with the theme, and it would have been six letters
cool
long.
Token.
Yeah.
Coffin token.
But dagger, do we know? I don't know if any of us know about the E1 yet, do we?
E? Silver amulet?
No. We just already
elixir.
Ooh.
Elixir.
Silver elixir. That could be
I like it. That sounds good.
Elephant?
Silver elephant with six letters.
Yeah. I think my favorite, though, is actually Werewords.
just because it's very simple.
Is one of your favorite
Bezier games.
Okay, yeah. Werewords.
So I've played Silver the most. Mm-hmm. Werewords is probably one of my favorites. I want it to be Castles, but I'm just so bad at it that I can't agree with Katie. So it's probably Werewords, just because it's a very simple game that can get really interesting. Because it's like a souped up 21 questions. You're just asking yes
or 20
no.
questions.
Oh, yeah. Is it 20 questions?
You get 21.
That's 20 questions. A bonus question. Yeah. And then some people are asking you yes or no questions, but one of them is a traitor.
I do like that. That's clever.
Trying to mislead people.
We play that one a lot with my family because there's usually six of us when we're playing and not that many games play, you know, higher player counts. Every once in a while, it's like, is Dad the werewolf mayor, or is he just really bad at this game? I'm just not sure.
Yes.
Maybe.
You get to some of those harder words, though, and goodness, like, I can't play on, I don't know what it's called, expert or whatever the top level is. I don't even know what those words mean.
Oh, yeah. Right, Mike, I've not even heard of this word before.
Let me Google this real
bodega
quick, and then I'll get back to you.
Oh, yeah, bodega.
What? No idea.
I'm like,
is that a star or something?
It's like a housing.
It's like an outside.
Like a little shop.
Market.
Yeah, that's right. Shop. That's right.
Nope, can't do it. I'm not large enough vocabulary to play hard level werewords.
I was looking at Board Game Geek's list of 121 Bezier games.
Oh, there's that many?
121. Oh, wow. We got a lot of expansions and things like that.
All of promo those cards. One nights and werewolves.
Yeah,
look,
you think about all the werewolf games they have. Right, that's at least 20 right there.
Right, right.
But I was thinking, like, when did Bezier, what's their first game on Board
Would
Game
Geek?
Would
they get started with it? Is it the one that's like, that stinks or that sucks or something? Don't they have a game
called
that?
There is one, but that's pretty good. I wasn't going to mention that one.
The name of the game is?
The first game that I see was from 2006 called Start Player, a kinda collectible card game.
Kinda collectible. That's
so hilarious. 2006. And then there was also a werewolf game back in like 2007, 2008. And I think that was the start of their werewolf line back over...
Way back.
Wow. 12, 13 years ago, and that's been a hit for them. Their werewolf lines. I know kids, Sarah Wells.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, my favorite game to watch my kids play is One Eye Ultimate Werewolf. Xander, he's now 8, but 2 years ago, last time we were at a convention, he played in a tournament, and there were a few adults and some teenagers, and he was 6 at the time. Oh. And he won multiple games. But, I mean, he has a slight advantage in that he was one of the smallest kids there, so nobody wanted to pick on him and kill him in the middle of the night.
But he's killing them.
But, yeah, he's voting for them during the day. So he usually did very, very well. He looked small and innocent and usually wasn't, so... Yeah, they love playing that game.
They do. They have a lot of fun with their friends, and it is fun to watch them because it helps me keep abreast to how good they're getting at lying, because then I can be like, oh, I think he's lying. Oh, he wasn't lying. Shoot. Oh, he's definitely lying. Sharpening my parenting skills.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Werewolf.
Going back to Silver, do we still have any Silver promos, Tantrum House promos? So if you want to get your hand on a Silver cat promo... how many? There's like 4 in a pack or something like that.
It's 4 cards in the pack because you
have to. Yeah,
you have that many in the deck.
In the deck, and you can just go to gamefound.com.
Yep, and search for Tantrum House, and you will find our. You can still late pledge right now. We'll be having that open for probably about another month and a half, and then it'll be closed. You can probably find it on our website. Mm.
Do we have any Suburbia tiles left?
Just a few.
Oh. The Tantrum House for Suburbia Collector's Edition.
That. Even though we didn't push hard enough to get our Tantrum Room
in the castle.
Colossal version. I should have pushed harder for that one.
Let's do it. Make it happen.
Go ahead. If their slogan is the new classics, mm-hmm. putting aside what your favorites might be, what would you say is like, that is a classic game?
Well, Werewolf comes to mind right away because people know that game outside of like the board game hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one of their genre setting games is actually New York Slice. The you pick, I choose, I pick, you choose mechanic is one that I've seen
done pretty well in a number of different games, but you really can't do any better than like a pizza where you're literally picking slices. Yeah. The board game box is like a pizza box.
I love it.
They definitely nailed the theme on it. The expansion things are like, or not the expansion things, but the what are the cards that have the recipe?
The orders?
Yeah, the orders look like receipts from a pizza place, and it's just a good implementation of that mechanic in a perfect theme. And it's a fun one to play. New York Slice is a lot of fun.
And I think both of those are very accessible to anybody. And that, like, the classics are games where you can just pull them out with anybody, whether
that's why they did it. The silver line is because people can pick that up pretty quickly. I think it's a pretty good seller because it's inexpensive as well.
Yeah, it's if you're not familiar with silver, it's a little bit of a memory game. You have cards face down in front of you. Mm-hmm. You have opportunities throughout the game to look at some of them based on cards, but you're trying to get the lowest value of cards in front of you. You're also trying to get rid of cards through certain mechanisms, but definitely there's a memory aspect to it, and sometimes you can peek at other people's cards, and I'm sitting there going, 5, 8, 7, 10, 5, 8, 7. Oh, which one's which?
Yeah, that one, if you are wanting to pull out a game for some friends or family who may be very familiar with a lot of classic card games with just a deck of poker cards, I usually recommend Cabo because that one is based off of the old golf game where you're using that mechanic, and it just adds a couple of things to it. And once they've got that down, then you can bust out silver, and it silver adds in those extra mechanics where all the cards do something, and you have a choice of, am I going to do this action or am I going to replace one of my cards? So it ups it just a little bit. So if you have somebody who is newer to the hobby, that's the order I would show them.
Two more games from Bezier Games that I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy are Suburbia, which I think is one of their more popular games that have been out for a while. They've had some expansions and some collector's editions and things like that. Personally, I think I like Castles a little bit more. I compare those two a lot because they're both similar in that they're both tile-laying games, and you're sort of building your own in Suburbia, your own suburb, but in Castles, your castle. I think some people like Suburbia a little bit more because they like the formulaicness of it. I know Melissa wants to add to the differences between those two, but
yeah, smaller table, right, with Suburbia.
Castles adds the bidding sort of aspect, whereas Master Builder, you are setting the prices.
I gotcha, yeah.
So that adds another variable in that some people really like, but some don't, that aspect of it. In Suburbia, the tiles basically slide down this price scale. So there's no player agency in the prices. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more predictable of the prices for the tiles. I like the whimsy of Castles, and the comboing of, now I get another action.
Sure.
Suburbia, you do get points, but you're not getting like extra actions or it's usually all money and reputation, which you're trying to balance. There's kind of a track in that in Suburbia. Yeah.
I'm not up on the trivia on that. Does Ludwig come from somewhere? Is that just sounding good?
He's an actual person who built a bunch of castles. Neufenstein.
The Neufenstein Castle.
Is one of the main ones. That's the one on the box. And
I've been there.
Did he actually, like, are they weird?
There's some weird, like, in that one, he had a room that's completely covered in mirrors all over the surface.
And there are ones that where stairs don't go
right
anywhere.
On theme then. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah.
He had one where I forget what it's called, like a dumbwaiter basically came all the way up from the kitchen to this, like, high up in the castle because he didn't want to see anybody. And he bankrupted the country building castles. And, like, Neuschwanstein, he spent, like, 100 days in it.
This game just got way cooler than
the,
I thought.
Yeah, the collector's edition, all the towers are from real castles.
I love it. Man.
Like,
I should probably play this
game more. No history, Will. Eventually,
he was arrested and put in prison and then mysteriously, air quotes, committed suicide and was in a lake, drowned. Like, basically, they didn't like him and just got him out of there.
Because like he was crazy. More sequels to come to this game, then. They get kind of dark, but they're...
Ties into Werewolf. It's there it is.
I will say, if you do like the Werewolf line of games, there is a Werewolf Legacy game out there, which I haven't personally played, but you can check that out. The last game that I want to talk about from Bezier is my favorite game of 2021.
What?
So far.
Maglev Metro.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, Maglev
Metro. That's
what I
was going to say is mine.
Okay. You go for it, Sarah.
Yeah, this one, I've only played a couple times, but it is, I like the choices where you're trying to build your routes in a good order to make sure you have the right passengers to pick up or deliver or wherever you're taking. The mechanics are great. The production quality is fantastic on this one. And at the end, it looks really cool when you see all the different routes overlapping each other on the board.
Because they're translucent tiles.
Yeah, so you can see where everybody else has gone, and your tracks are your own lines, so nobody else is messing with them or going over top of yours. You're just placing them down.
Translucent, you cannot see through, correct?
No, translucent. No, translucent means you can see through partially.
Oh, well, I guess sort of. Sure.
But opaque means you can't see through at all.
These are definitely transparent with lines on them. So anyway, they are pretty cool. Melissa wants to butt in here.
I was going to say one of the really interesting things is as you're picking up passengers and then when you deliver them, you put them on your board and you're basically deciding how powerful your actions are going to be based on where you slot these passengers and robots, or am I going to unlock more actions? Am I going to unlock scoring opportunities? So as you gain these passengers, you are making decisions about your board state.
I am a big fan of engine building games, and this is definitely an engine building game that you can get behind pretty quickly.
Yes, you can.
If you don't plan well. So, which I'm okay with. I mean, if there's a game like I just didn't do it right, I'm okay with. The game's not terribly long, but I've really enjoyed my games of Maglev Metro. It's still the top game that I've played this year so far, and I've played quite a few. Wow. So, I mean, we're in April already. We'll see. There's games that'll come out later, but we'll find out.
Will they be better?
Will they be better than Maglev Metro?
Yeah, interesting.
We won't know.
Yeah, that's cool. I definitely enjoyed the components for this one. That is the highlight of the game. The transparent tiles, you've got like little buses, or I mean, they're subway trains, but they look like a little cool bus that you're putting your people in. I can't remember if I'm thinking of just the prototype or not. Were they like chrome? Is it like metallic colored people, meeples?
The meeples are metallic. There's three colors of metallic, gold, silver, and bronze. And then there's also three colors, purple, red, and pink or something like that.
There's a lavender.
Oh, lavender.
A violet. Conspiracy. A pink. And a pink.
There's four colors, and then there's three metallic, and then the train cars, the subway cars, are actually metal,
right?
Cool. You can put the meeples inside.
Yep, great color scheme, great components, fun stuff. That was on my list as well. I figured we would save it to last, which we did, and I think that pretty much is the last of our episode as well. If you want to hear us talk about some, what are we talking about? Are we talking about
Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier. Are we also talking about Mighty Ducks? Is that happening? Are we talking about that
briefly?
Maybe briefly. All right, hang around till the end. We'll have some fun. See you guys. Bye. Bye again.
Bye again.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
All right, so if you listen to our Saturday morning board game show at the end of our last episode, we chatted a little bit about our thoughts on Winter Soldier.
Jonan should have been here.
I know. I kind of wanted to hear his opinion for sure, because so far...
Yeah, spoilers. We're trying to talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Winter Soldier, right? Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Correct.
Okay.
The Marvel series on Disney Plus. We all watched WandaVision, enjoyed it thoroughly. We've jumped into Winter Soldier. It's a little slow for me. What do you guys think?
I think they're trying to emphasize the intrigue, but they're not giving me enough information for me to completely care right now.
Right.
Mostly I'm just annoyed. Like, why why hasn't the Falcon been paid? And now we just found out that Sharon Carter has been in Madripoor for several years. Hiding, like, why did they just, like, abandon her and never check up on her?
I think she sort of explained that, why she was sort of in hiding.
She was just kind of hiding, right?
Yeah, it sounded government. Like they had a Captain America Civil War, and then they just never picked up with, like, hey, are you okay? You
know, I think they sort of had to do that because she wasn't in any of the movies, so they had to sort of, like, write a backstory and, like, oh, she was in hiding.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could have handled it better or made it make more sense to me. Also, I didn't like – we have Baron Zemo now.
Right.
And they've kind of rewritten his character.
A little weird.
Because in Age of Ultron – or no, not Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
After Age of Ultron in Civil War, he talks about what happened in Age of Ultron, how he was like this family man, and he sent his kids to be with his father, and he and this elite group of intelligent people were like fighting Ultron or something, and then when he got home – all his family was dead. So he's like this very relatable character. Now he's like, actually, I'm royalty. I'm a baron.
Super rich.
Super rich. I still have a butler for some apparent reason.
Even though I was in jail for a long time.
Yeah, I've been in jail for who knows how many years, but this butler is still like ready.
On the payroll.
Yeah. And all my stuff's still around. It's just like he was relatable before. Now he's not. And I read an article about how basically he looks like he's becoming Batman. Like he is kind of this rich vigilante character who's kind of
money.
An anti-hero and chasing after supers. So I don't know.
Yeah, a little weird. I like that he like pulled his mask out of the car. Like he's a very dopey looking comic book character, in my opinion, with his purple ski mask on. But I like that they like, you know, I'm impressed by all the Marvel costuming. Everybody looks cool, even though their characters in the comic books look retarded. So I like that they go for that angle. Like, he wears the fur collar pretty good, but I just don't connect with him at all as like a
If you had that jacket, you would wear it. That is a sweet coat.
I do like him better than the new Captain America, though. John Walker.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Oh, awesome.
I cannot stand him.
Someone was saying that I was ready. Saw an article, I didn't read it, that they're saying that the new Captain America, what's his name again? John Walker. Is supposedly stronger than the original Captain America.
No.
Also confusing.
I think in the comics he gets his powers from the Power Broker, so I don't know if that's a spoiler for future episodes, but...
Because he definitely seems too powerful to just be a normal dude. Like, he throws the shield around, like, better than Captain America.
I don't think we've seen him in person do anything amazing, but...
He did get thrown off a bus.
In the videos of him doing shield stuff, I was like, oh... He's clearly superpowered. Right. How did he get this way?
Yeah.
And they haven't really shown him do any of that.
Yeah, they should have. Like, that would be interesting. I think that they should have done that for the first couple episodes.
I think they are building up as a character that we're not supposed to like. So, like, they're doing a good job with that.
They're doing a great job.
Like, oh, he looks so goofy.
Yeah, but like anything that's
annoying.
Going on is the problem.
Right. And that is exactly the problem. Like, I need somebody to really like. Winter Soldier is kind of like a jerk and kind of like... You know, just going in too soon, like, wait for the plan, calm down, quit disappearing. Why are you running into this weird alley? I'm not following him.
I did like the first, very, very, very first scene of episode one.
Episode one started great.
Him flying around. I know, Ryan, we talked about this. But
is it broken? Why hasn't he flown around?
And I know episodes? I mentioned this on Saturday, but that scene was just too much for me. I was just like, man, this is way too over the top. And this is almost turning me off.
I was okay with it.
So unrealistic.
It's okay. I was okay with that.
I mean, I think after the only thing that is unrealistic to me is that if you can do all that without the wings, then what do you need the wings for? Like, if Iron Man can fly through that cavern, no problem as well. To me, it seems like the wings are more of a harm than they are a help. I think he needs to do more stuff like shielding himself from getting shot and like, you know, chopping people's heads off or, you know, something nice like that.
I know Melissa said in the past she likes some of the little like one-off sort of like conversations that they're having throughout the episodes.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, Sam and Bucky with their kind of like kind of hate each other,
banter.
But not banter can be kind of humorous. Like,
it with the therapist, and then there was something
I did like the therapist scene. That was
there was something was in good. Episode 3 that was kind of humorous, but I don't remember what it was.
You gonna move your seat back? No.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of felt like for episode 3 that he should have had more backup or something, because the Falcon didn't even have his wings. He's just a guy,
right?
Like, he's not even
superpowered in any way.
He's not even a foot soldier, and he's
a Marine.
He's trained
for some
hand-to-hand combat because he's like special Air Force or something. But
I feel like there doesn't seem to be the intrigue that you're saying. Like, I don't really know what's going on or care. Oh, he found somebody from Wakanda. I guess I'm supposed to care about that. Like, I don't know why. Is she not allowed to be hanging out in town? Like, it's just weird. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to care about or think about.
She's clearly coming after Zemo.
So that's going to be the dynamic.
He's responsible for the kingdom.
I think episode 4, you'll start seeing, like, the climax being built. So I think maybe it just took too long to get to it, is what I'm saying.
Well,
and the fear is that there's only, like, 6 episodes total. So I need more traction.
So, theory. I don't know if they're going to go this way, but if they're going to diverge from the comics like drastically, or I don't know the comics super well, but
better than we
in Madripoor, apparently the Shadow Broker is like a thing there. Who else is in the Madripoor? Sharon Carter. Are they the same character?
Is that what you're saying?
No, the Shadow Broker or the Power Broker?
Power Broker.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Shadow Broker is Mass Sharon. Effect.
But that's doesn't really get me excited.
I think
still,
it would have been cool if they worked in Wolverine. I know that's kind of early, but...
Nope, not too early. Bring in Wolverine. You have my permission. Do it now.
I wouldn't be surprised if they set that up as, like, just future episodes.
If they hinted at it, I'd be
even
okay.
Even future movies or series. It's
have
like
we
suddenly
all seen the Loki
back.
Trailer?
Yes.
Which one?
Yes.
The one that dropped like today or yesterday.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Pretty good.
The newest Loki trailer was pretty... I'm like, I'm looking forward to that show.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now that you are.
I do kind of wonder, like, we went through WandaVision, and the whole show is about suspense in a way and trying to figure out, unravel this mystery.
Right.
We're not really, like, where are we?
It was weird and slow, but it was at least like, what is going on?
Yeah, which I appreciate. They sort of brought us along.
But did that set us up to kind of expect that from what's really just a Marvel movie? Like, you could condense these episodes
into a movie. Let's not act
like
Marvel movies are not amazing.
No, they are. But there's just a different feel. It's not
right.
about this
feels
intrigue.
Like the Snyder Cut.
So what you're saying is we should just wait for 3 more weeks and just watch all 3 at the same time?
Maybe.
I think that might be the better experience.
Well, that's probably going to happen either way, right? Because one comes out Friday. Well, we won't have an episode next week. Might come back for the finale.
All right.
It'll be interesting to see. I do hope there are some twists. I'm sure there will be something. I just don't know what it is. Obviously, it sounds like they're all going to fight Zemo, and Zemo's going to fight back, and then maybe there'll be an epic fight scene between
John Walker
half of Wakanda
fight.
And yes. Captain America and 5 on Civil War.
Okay. I want a Mexican standoff or whatever, where like there's a 3-way fight. That'd be interesting.
It could happen.
They're fighting John Walker and he's fighting Zemo and Zemo's fighting them all at once. I don't think it'll happen, but I'd like to see it.
There's always hope. So let's talk about something that was enjoyable this past week. What?
Game Changers?
Yeah, I got to watch the new Mighty Ducks.
Did I hype it up too much to you?
No, it was great. I enjoyed it.
Well, first of all, we realized our kids have not watched any of the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, they had no idea what we were talking about. They literally, it was funny, when we got to the end of the movie, we watched the first movie with them.
First,
I said, so is that what you expected? And they were like, no, we thought the Mighty Ducks was a superhero movie.
Well, we start the movie and we realize, wow, the 80s was not good with tech because this is really bad looking on our projector.
Low res.
Because it's low res. And then my kids didn't realize that older movies, they show quite a few credits at the beginning.
Yes.
Kevin
saw Mighty Ducks for the first time, and he was like, what?
What are they? Mom.
Is this going to start? Is it started yet?
Why do they just cut out, and there's these stupid words? And I'm like, oh, this is every movie back. Like,
80s,
we used to have no video in between. It was just you had to sit through some boring song, and then the movie would start.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh, no. This one was good because there were little snippets of the scene where he misses the shot.
By a quarter inch.
Yes.
Sets it up.
Yeah. Yep. So it was fun. We got to watch that with our kids, and then we watched the first episode. We didn't make it to the second one. Okay. But, yeah, I liked a lot of the stuff that they had going on. It was it was funny that the Mighty Ducks have become the bad guys. Like, that's a great twist.
It's a good twist.
So now we're starting off as the team that's playing against the Mighty Ducks? What?
And why is Grim Bombay in this, like, Ricky Ding?
Right?
Why
what happened to him?
Because he's a cake eater. That's why.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. Like, why is he eating cake in every scene? Oh, I like that. That's funny. It's clever.
I would like to know a little bit of what happened, his backstory, because...
I'm sure that's coming.
I mean, the end of the third movie, I mean, he's at the top, he's back, like...
Right, going like, back... Well, he goes back to the minors, like, at the end of the first one.
Right.
Which is interesting. It sounds like he did play in the minors some.
Right,
in this
then
one.
He got his knee hurt in the second movie.
Oh, so I haven't watched the second one again
I haven't watched
yet.
The second movie. And then the third movie, he comes back and basically saves the team from getting disbanded from the prep school... And he's basically acting as a lawyer, so I don't know, like, is he going back into the lawyer scene at that point? We don't really know what happens at the
end.
Yeah,
I think he was also coaching the Goodwill game, so he was doing that. Like, so what he was doing in movie two, he basically was doing full-time.
In movie three.
Yes.
Because he's not really in movie three that much.
It's been so long since I've seen movie three. It's on my weekend watching list because I don't even remember what
movie
happened.
Two was really good.
That's my favorite.
Okay.
I don't remember what happened in three all that much, but this seems like it's going to be a fun one. Good cast, a variety of characters.
Right?
I like how young the kids look for one.
Right.
When we went back and watched the Mighty Ducks, I was like, first off, all the actors look really young because it was so long ago, but I was like, these kids look like big kids for playing, you know, peewee hockey. In this one, the actors seem really young, so they did a great job.
The
I like
the characters. I think the humor in it really drew me into to the TV series. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I'll be looking forward to watching that one, catching up on the second episode, watching all the movies.
Yeah, it was a little predictable that they were able to pull everything off by the end of the first episode. And
do you know what's going to happen in the second episode then, Sarah? What's your prediction?
So I'm guessing
since I've already seen it.
So obviously the mom isn't going to continue to be the coach.
Yeah.
She's going to convince him to coach.
Okay. That's second episode. That's your prediction. What else happens in episode two?
Well, I'm guessing they try and play a game.
Okay.
And
what happens?
They lose miserably.
Yeah. They have to lose. There's no way when you put together kids who've never played.
So the super awesome goalie
Mighty Ducks
doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything?
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he's going
to
do something.
Oh, he's probably a decent goalie, but I don't know that they're going to be able to score. You can't win if you don't score goals
they
yourself.
The first game?
So they may
the first
shut
game?
Out the other team,
so
and
is it
maybe
be
they
zero,
tie.
Yeah. So what's you're going to say? They tie 0-0.
They
or
either
is it
tie
be
a... or they lose. So I don't. Oh, okay. I don't think they're going to win because I don't think they're capable of shooting.
And Gordon comes back this episode,
hopefully. Okay. And they're going to get that one girl. Maybe not this episode, but she's going to finally make the right decision. Come to their team.
Oh, from the Mighty Ducks.
Right.
His friend.
She wanted to.
Yeah.
She didn't quite pull it
off. The main character's best friend. Yeah. Okay.
So one comment. Now that Disney has I guess Disney had the rights before.
To what?
To Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. They made it.
Yeah, but now.
I learned a lot about Mighty Ducks. I didn't know that Mighty Ducks came about as a real sports team because of Disney.
Yeah, yes. that is hilarious
to me.
Yes.
Yep. But they sold it.
Well, here's the thing.
Money.
Like the old Ducks logo, I think it's kind of lame that it's like Donald Duck's face.
Oh, wait. It's not Donald Duck's face.
Yes, it is. No, it is Donald Duck's face.
There used to be a cartoon where they were like Donald Duck style.
They were more like Darkwing
like
Duck
beefy,
style.
Beefy ducks that played hockey and then fought crime.
Right. It was awesome. I love that show. It was a great cartoon.
You should that to your kids because they want to see
I think there was only like two seasons though. It didn't last very long.
So do you like the new logo?
No.
Is that what you're saying? I didn't know where you were going with
no,
that.
No, I don't. I don't like the old original logo either, but...
You're talking about the green, like on the green jerseys in the original.
That was really ugly.
Right. That was definite,
well,
like Pee Wee League.
Normal 80s level. Yeah. Whoever did the jerseys at the print shop, this is what came on the CD of clip art for Duck Teams.
When they came out with their jerseys on in Mighty Ducks 2, I was like, these are the coolest jerseys ever. Yes. I want to play hockey.
Oh, that's awesome. I've seen episode 2. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, so you can watch it.
But I was totally wrong.
But I'm going to say that you were maybe close on some of the things. There are some cool moments in episode 2.
Coming up? All right,
so,
cool. Can't wait.
That you are like, even if you're like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. It's like how they did it was pretty fun. So.
All right. Can't wait. Got to check it out.